Shalom Rabosai, today is Monday, January 27th, and we are gonna get to this week's goal is Makkah B'Patish. That's the goal for this week. And one of the hard things about Makkah B'Patish is that because it's not a defined act, it's many different ways that you could get to Makkah B'Patish. So we're going to have to sort of get ourselves familiar with lots of cases of Makkah B'Patish, and little by little we'll develop in our mind a feel for what does constitute Makkah B'Patish and what does not constitute Makkah B'Patish. And, of course, we're going to find out that the Rishonim might have different perspectives. So I want to start off with, I hope all of you saw the Sefer Yireyim and the Ran and the Meiri. But let's just... The Sefer Yireyim, I put him first because he says it because it will sensitize us to how carefully to read a Rishon. But he says the same thing that the others say, but he just says it in one word while the others say it in a sentence or two. So I was nice enough. Did I underline the key word in the Sefer Yireyim?
Yeah.
I did. Okay, I shouldn't have done that. Because then I would ask, okay, so does the Sefer Yireyim hold and no one would know what he's adding? Except I underlined this, so you realize what he did. So, what's the point that you see from the Sefer Yireyim?
The binyan has to be done in order for the
The Sefer Yireyim is not saying that the last step in the process of building or making a kli is Makkah B'Patish. Rather, he's saying after it's already finished, you do something additional, that's Makkah B'Patish. As he says, after you complete it, then you do some, whatever the Gemar Malach would be, which we have to figure out what it would be. Whether it's Kalim or Talush or Mechubar, by the way, what does mechubar mean?
Connect.
Mechubar, whenever you see it, just in a vacuum, means attached to the ground. How do you say
this?
Exactly, mechubar la karka. What is the antonym? The opposite, correct? Talush. Talush is separated. So that's what he's saying. This second line is actually going to be a very important line of the Sefer Yireyim, because he says there's gemar malacha bein bekelim, bein betalush, bein mechubar. He's saying that Makkah B'Patish can apply to a kli, it can apply to a building, it can apply to other things. Why is that so significant? Of course, whenever you finish something. The reason why it's so significant is because we have a rule which we're going to talk about after we do the sugya of Makkah B'Patish. The next topic that we're going to be discussing, which is going to be a tosos later on, like two tosos down, is going to be the sugya of Ein Binyan Bekalim. Ein binyan bekalim. There's no halacha of bona when it comes to kalim, only when it comes to structures and buildings and things that are mechubar lakarka. But anything that is not mechubar lakarka. Even if you make it, if you're making it nice. Construct a kli, that's not bona.
And what's the reason?
Why is there no bona in kalim? Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to learn the sugya next week or 2 weeks. So that's, now you appreciate what the second line of the Sefer Yireyim is yes saying, that Makkah B'Patish does apply Beba Talish, Beba Mechubar LaKarka, whatever it is, as a pope. You didn't appreciate what he was saying because you didn't realize that by Bona, we don't apply Bona to Talish and Kalim, and here we're saying yes, Makkah B'Patish will apply. Even though Bona doesn't, Makkah B'Patish will apply. And therefore, this we mentioned yesterday. We talked yesterday about Posech Beis HaTzavar. Who could share it? Did everyone see the Gemara about Posech Beis HaTzavar? Nathan, did you see that Gemara?
Yeah.
Posech Beis HaTzavar.
Probably.
Opening up the neck, opening up the collar of a shirt. I guess in the olden days they made shirts without... The example that I gave yesterday in Shir was that if you have a garbage bag, Baruch Hashem, we got nervous about you, Jesse.
Sorry,
I'm sorry to hear that. Yesterday I gave an example of, You know, when you're somewhere in shul or in camp and it starts raining really heavily, you take a garbage bag and you stick your head through the top, right? So that's how they used to make shirts. They used to, I think, they used to make shirts without that neck, without the collar, and then you would just bust the top open for the head place, and you would have a neck hole. So that, the Gemara says clearly, is considered makkah b'patish, because you're putting the finishing touch on this shirt by making it have the neck hole. So that's what the next line of the Uraim says. Therefore, why is busting this hole considered makkah b'patish? Because you already have a full shirt. You're not going to add anything on. You're not going to sew anything additional. You're not going to. You just have a full shirt. Just it's missing its neck hole. So you have to burst through, burst the hole through the neck, so it will be usable. Yeah.
So how can we say it's a finished product if it's not usable?
That's, I think, the point of Gemara. That's the point, I think, of Makkah B'Patish. It's all built. Everything that you need here is already here. But there's something that makes it not usable, that you're doing this finishing touch that makes it from not usable to usable. So it is finished. This is not usable. So you're asking a good question. I mean, other cases a little easier to see. The other case that we saw last week was if you have the fabric, that what got caught in the fabric, some thorns got caught in the fabric, so you never wear it like that. I have a full jacket. I have a full jacket. I would never wear it because it has these little thorns stuck in it. So I want to pull out those thorns to make it wearable. So it is a full jacket. It was nigmar. The jacket was finished being made, but it's still not usable because it has these thorns.
No, but
here you're saying it's a little bit like it's not a finished shirt.
You can't even put it on if there's no hole for the neck.
Right. That's the point. But you're not adding anything else to it. Everything is here. You just have to make it usable by punching that hole through. That's what you see. Okay, so now let's see what we saw in very short in the Uraim is going to be very explicit in the run. Who wants to read the run? Everyone saw the run, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Everyone here, is there anyone who did not see the run? You didn't see the run? Mm-hmm. You didn't see it yet? No? Okay, so David, you want to read the run?
Yeah.
Amaka Bepatish, Pirush, Rabbi Yochananel, Sifaron Lebracha.
Good.
Sheleachar, Shenaasea Kelly. So, Amaki Bepatish, we learned from Rabbi Yochananel, Sifaron Lebracha, that it's done after the Kelly was made.
You're in the middle of a sentence. Shala'acha shena'aseh ha'kli mashvepana. What does mashve mean?
Change.
How do you know that, Alex?
Ah. What do you say?
He was here today?
Oh, he's back.
Yeah. Oh, he's back. Yeah, wonderful. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know he was back already. Yeah, I knew he was back. I knew he was right. Mashve. Alan, how do you know that the word mashve means to smooth it out?
Sheva.
Sheva is seven.
Oh,
Shaveh? What does Shaveh mean, Josh?
Equal?
Yeah, make something equal. In mathematics, Shaveh means equals. Shaveh, this is Shaveh, these two things are Shaveh, they're equal one to another. Exactly, if you have something that's bumpy, you want to make it equal, what is that doing? You're smoothing it out. Yeah, Mashveh. So after you have a kli, let's say you're working with silver or tin or aluminum, you're making some kind of kli. So the kli is made, it's a cup, it's a bowl. But it's a little bumpy. So what do? So everything's made. You just smooth it out. That's going to be the Makkah B'Patish. Go ahead.
So itself, it's not a melacha.
Meaning it itself is not making anything. The thing's already made. You're just go ahead.
Because the keli was already made. Rather, shegomera melacha, that finished the melacha, the work. Umikar lamdu lechol davar shehu beatzma eina melacha. And from here, we learn that we apply the same case to every thing, that it's not a melacha, a work by itself. Ela sheha liadav nigmara lechivo. Rather, we need to finish it to be chayav.
Ela, it itself is not a melacha. You don't violate a malacha by doing this act. You don't violate a malacha of bono, you don't violate a malacha of mechatech, you don't violate a malacha of anything. Ela shal yado, but since through this act, nigmara, that's going to be the chayvo, that will obligate him on gemar malacha, on the gemar malacha. For example, well, before we see the example, There's a word here that I think is important. Yesterday, you remember we saw Tosos. Everyone open up to Ayin Hayam and Beis. Yeah, Masate. You might have seen, even if you weren't here yesterday, you might have seen this Tosos already. Tosos was talking about Misatet, chiseling. And Tosos said that Misatet is not talking about, like Rashi said, Rashi by us said, what is Misatet? Rashi by us says, Misatet could be a lot of things. What could, keep one hand there, turn to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah. What's Misatet? How does Rashi explain Misatet in our Mishnah?
To
square it, you mean?
To square.
To make it square, or to metakin it, or to smooth it, or to bump it, all those things. Tosas and Ayin Hayam and Beis, turn back to Ayin Hayam and Beis. He's not so generous. He says, no. What does Tosas say Masates will be?
After
it's already squared, after it's already smooth, then you want to beautify it by putting in some lines or some decorations or some scratches. That's makav patish. But all the other things before were
other malachas.
Squaring it will be chateich, I guess. Smoothing it out will be mamacheich, I guess. Dibur hamasa masates. First three lines. So we're going to talk in a few minutes about this seeming machlokas Rashi until we talked a little bit yesterday. Today we'll expand on what the machlokas Rashi and Tosos is. But what I want to draw is an interesting question. Let's say you do makke v'patish, which also is itself a malacha. Let's say the last thing that I have to do to this house is install the windows. I install the last window of the house. Is installing a window bona?
No.
Yeah. I would assume it certainly is.
It is?
No? You don't think so?
Possibly over both options.
That's going to be my question. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah.
I think installing a window is definitely bona. It just happens to be the last part of the house in order to make the house fully livable. So now, my question is, could it also be makke v'patish?
It's like the neck.
What?
It's like making the whole thing neck.
Well, that's a little bit different, because making a hole for a neck, I don't know if it's a malacha of itself. It's just, it's not a malacha. It's just making the neck, the shirt usable, so it's makke v'patish. My question is, if something already is a malacha of bona, building a house, last step of building a house is also building a house, it's certainly a bona kol shehu. But could you also be chayef for makke v'patish? Could you have to get killed twice? We kill you, we stone you, we wake you up, and we kill you a second time. Or perhaps more practically, we tell you to have to bring two carbon chatases. That might be a little more reasonable. I want you to look at this run, the first two lines of the run that you just read, and tell me if you could find an answer, David. I think you answered the question with if you look carefully at the words of the run, I think there's an answer here.
No, it wouldn't be. I think about if you would only be winning.
This Ran goes out of his way to say two different times, in the first line and in the second line. V'hi ba'atzma eina malacha. Second line it says, shehu ba'atzma eina malacha. It sounds from the Ran that makke v'patish, whenever you do something that's a malacha and makke v'patish, we're not going to call it makke v'patish, we're only going to call it the malacha. So makke v'patish is only going to be, when there's no malacha here, and you're finishing something, then I'm going to call it makke v'patish. Does everyone see that in the words of the Ran? Again, when I read the Ran the first time, I might not have realized that. But now that we realize that there's this question about what happens when you do two things at the same time, then we see, oh, that's sort of what he's saying. Again, that's not his main point. What's his main point? His main point is telling the Makom Padish only happens after you finish doing a malacha, then, after you finish completing your kli, or making your, whatever you're making, Lach Padish is on top of that. That's his main point. But through his words, we see the second significant halacha, that Makke v'patish seems to be only when there's no other malacha present. Fine. Now, he says something very interesting. We all saw together last week the Gemara Daf Ayin Hey. Josh, are you with me? The Gemara Daf Ayin Hey talked about glass blowing. And the Gemara said clearly, explicitly, that glass blowing is Makkah B'Patish. You remember that Gemara? Let's see the next line of the Ron David, and I want you to tell me if that's how you understood the Gemara in Ayin Hey, like this Ron, or you understood differently than this Ron. Okay. Third line. What's that word? After Pa'am?
Shnei.
What's the Shmichik? What does the Shmichik tell you?
There's a few words missing.
No, that would be Dats. Okay. Or Vagomer.
What's letters missing?
A letter. Shnia. It's a hey. A hey. Pam Shnia.
Oh. Pam Shnia.
So what does he say? He says, "It's what's an example of Malacha B'Patish? The Gemara Malacha Kinofeh B'Kli Zechuchis Pam Shnia Shal Yedei Kain, through this blowing of the glass, Nigmeret HaMalacha. V'hu Chayav Kinofeach Neficha Rishona Shehi HaMalacha." What's that last line saying?
The first time you blow on the glass, it is a Malacha. I mean, it's another Malacha.
What malacha is it? What are you doing when you blow the glass the first time? Let's say, I don't know. You make the kli, right? And then what is the makkah b'patish of blowing the glass?
The second one.
Second time. You and I all saw the Gemara in Daf Ayin Hey. Turn to Daf Ayin Hey. Oh, you're already on Ayin Hey. You already have one hand on Ayin Hey. And see where it says, I think it's a little bit before the two dots, where it talks about blowing the glass? No, two lines before the two dots. Who wants to read me the Gemara about blowing the glass? Josh? Two lines before the two dots? Three lines?
Amar Rabbi Yehuda?
Amar Rabbi Shimon, no?
That's where I should start from, Amar Rabbi Shimon?
Amar Rabbi Shimon?
Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Hatzar Tzura Bekli Behamenafeyah.
How did you translate that second, that last line? Somebody who
blows into a glass vessel is chayav because of makibati.
Which time?
It seems like the first.
You read this Gemara, Josh, and assumed.
When he does it, yeah.
When a glass blows glass, right? Mm-hmm. You never thought of it first time, second time, third time, fourth time. You just assume. Comes this run and doesn't learn the Gemara simply, does he? This Ran is adding that, Makkah B'Patish of this Gemara, the one says that blowing glass is Makkah B'Patish, it's only on the
last
second blow. Why? Because it can't be the first blow, because the first blow actually made the Kli. So made the Kli, that's not Makkah B'Patish, because Makkah B'Patish says the Ran over here is only...
No, but the Gemara is already done after the Kli, say, Kli Chzavuvit. Yeah, that's not the Gemara.
Beautiful Diuk. I would never have noticed that in a million years, Alan. I see this Gemara 7 times and never noticed that. You're saying he could have said Hamanafeach be melted sand and melted glass.
Yeah. No, but it's already talking
and
about
it. Alan is saying, no, someone says, you say you blow into a kli. So it's Masha from the Gemara itself, that's the second time. Beautiful diuk. Great, thank you. I have to add that to my notes. Great, I didn't realize that. Okay, so what do you see from the Ron? At least the Ron is, again, I didn't notice that diuk, and I was just assuming you're blowing glass. You're making glass kli. The Ron goes out of his way to say, no, this Gemara must be talking about only if you're just making a glass kli. That can't be Makkah B'Patish, because the Ron understands Makkah B'Patish only as once something is already made. So making it isn't Makkah B'Patish. It's some other thing of making a kli. Now that you're comes around and says it must be the second blow. What do you do with the second blow? I don't know. Maybe you even it out a little bit. The first blow, puh, makes the kli. Pushes the air in, pushes the walls out, so now I have a kli. The second blow probably gets it more, you know, the perfect shape. Perfect size, the perfect shape. That would be Makkah B'Patish. Okay. Now, The second paragraph of the Ran. Al, you want to read the second paragraph of the Ran? You want to read the second paragraph of the Ran? כשגמרו מלאכתן, when the artisans finish their מלאכה, what's מעיינן? Good, how do you know that? What word do you know? But more than that, not really. Eon, we learn the eon, right? We learn in depth. We deeply think about. We deeply analyze. We deeply, right? Ma'ainen, they do eon. They investigate. But they look carefully in it. He's obviously going to be talking here about some kind of silver or silver or metal, you know, clee that you're making. So you look into it, you analyze it to check. Nishar. Remains.
It remains dabar muat, tiny, no muat.
A small thing, right? Dabar muat, small thing.
Letaken mitkana bekones, to fix it with a hammer. No?
Right. You see if there's a little bump on your silver, you're making a silver cup, you see something a little out of shape, you take a little bang it.
Shari yado lagal and to curb it.
That Rabbi Helman told you that.
Huh?
Rabbi Helman told you that?
Yeah. No, but it came from Agula, no?
Yes, very good. It's just a good word. It's just the perfect word. It's like the perfect word. Yeah. I would never even have thought of that word. It's, yes, lagel, to curve it.
To make it wider.
Good.
She'ein orachaba, because it's not wider. I don't know.
To make it wider in the place where it's not as wide, kishar hachaticha. Let's say there's one place that's a little narrower and the rest of it is wide. So you want to widen this place so it'll be like the rest of it. Right. Stop there.
Sorry.
So what are you doing? What's he trying to explain?
You make it wider now.
So what is he trying to do? What's the point of him saying all these things about wide and curved and what's his point?
It's fixing it, it's making it better, no?
Not the actual
clay. Exactly. You already have a clay, you're just putting a finishing touch on it.
It's already there, but
exactly. It's fully here. It's completely here. You're just perfecting it.
Sefer Yerim also says the same thing, right?
Correct. But he said it in one word, and the Ran is saying it in sentences. Now, we have the opinion of the Ran is like the opinion of the Sefer Yerim, that it's only after you have a clay finished. And you do something on top of that, that's Makkah B'Patish. Now, this last line, I think, look at this last line, I think he's saying an additional point at the last line. Ulefi.
Ulefi shepa'am echad, velo tulach gadol, latakan kari li Makkah B'Patish. So it's...
Can you read that again?
Ulefi shepa'am echad, so one more time, velo...
Below Torah, there's not
burden.
Burden,
how do you call it?
What's Torah?
Burden.
Boredom? No, Torah is burden. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, without a big burden, it's not a big burden. It's not a tough thing to do. Mitkan, it is fixed.
It's small. Karili, Makkah B'Patish. It is Makkah B'Patish.
It is called Makkah B'Patish. I think this last line is not defining what Makkah B'Patish is. He's saying, why do we call it Makkah B'Patish? This has nothing to do with a hammer. It has nothing to do with the hammer. It has to do with whatever you're finishing, whatever, it depends on what you're making, right? Glass blowing does not involve a hammer. You try using a hammer on glass, you end up with nothing. So why are we calling Makkah B'Patish? Because we see something in the word Makkah B'Patish. What do we see from the words Makkah B'Patish? Bang! It's over. In other words, as opposed to shaping, which is a process, as opposed to, in other words, making is a process. Makkah B'Patish, a bang with a hammer. A bang is a quick, sudden thing. It's not a process. It's not elongated. That, apparently, that's what he's saying. Since it could be done once, without Torah Gadol, and it happens immediately, that's why we call it Makkah B'Patish. So how is he understanding Makkah B'Patish? Well, he's saying the reason why we call it Makkah B'Patish is because it's quick. And it's pretty instantaneous. It's not long, a long out process. Well, you understand from his, I mean, you understand that implicitly, he's obviously telling us, he's silently telling us that anything that's a long, drawn-out process is not going to be Makav HaPatish. Makav HaPatish is going to have to be something that's quick, something that's a one-step, and not something that... it's not something that has Torah Gadol. That's, I think, those are important factors for us to consider as we're going to journey through Makav HaPatish, yeah.
I think that's actually an interesting... I don't have to make too much about that addition, but if you compare the Ron to Sefer Reim, you read just that additional qualification of Makav HaPatish that, I guess, a simple reading of the Sefer Reim wouldn't exclude if the item was already done. And let's say you just had to make improvements, but it would be, you know, a little bit of a process to make those improvements. It doesn't seem that...
The Reim doesn't talk anything about this point.
Right.
Right. This is the point that the Ron adds on. But again, the Ron here isn't trying to define it. He's trying to tell you why you call it Makav HaPatish. And by seeing the way he explains why we call it Makav HaPatish, I understand how he thinks about Makav HaPatish.
But is there like a level of tirka that...
I wish I knew. At first, I wanted to see, if you look at the words of the Ron, it sounds like it's an instantaneous act, like a bank. It can't really be literally true that it's an instantaneous act. What case that you saw of Makav HaPatish is more than just an instantaneous bang? Well, that could be one chisel. Right? You take a... Obviously, if you do it 20 times, you do 20. That's interesting. If you chisel, right? Let's say you have a stone. You make it bumpy. So you did 25 bangs with your chisel. Is that 25 Makav HaPatishes or one Makav HaPatish?
Probably 25.
The last one.
Or the last one. Very good, David. Maybe the last one.
But each one could be the last one.
You want to make a bumpy. If you want to make a bumpy stone and there's one bump in the stone, that's not a bumpy stone.
But there's a bump. Like you could.
That's not. If you see a stone with a bump in it, that's not Jerusalem stone. Jerusalem stone. The whole stone is, you know, bumpy. I don't know the answer to this question.
But you could always add in that one extra bump.
That is true.
But the extra bumps are only...
Maybe all the bumps together, there's 25 bumps that make it Jerusalem stone as opposed to flat stone, that makes it Makav HaPatish.
But even the last one, it's only the last one needed because there are 24 other chisels.
I hear. I have a different proof. We saw the Gemara on this very page, Ayin Hey. Look at the line before, the three words before what Josh read. Hatzar Tzura Bekli. If you design a design on a kli. Now a design, it doesn't have to be elaborate, but it doesn't just mean you do one strike. A design means it could be 3 seconds, it could be 30 seconds, but you're making some kind of design. The design, the kli is finished, you're applying a design on top of that. A design is not a one-shot instantaneous act. So I don't think he's saying it has to be an instantaneous act, but still it's not a long drawn-out process, that I see. Fine. Now that we see this Urim and the Ran, I have a very simple question. Turn back to our Mishnah. Kuf Beis. The Ran and the Urim just told me that in order to be Makav HaPatish, what must it be?
A finished kli.
It must already be finished, and you're doing something
extra
on top of it. A finishing touch on top of it. I'll use the word extra. On top of something that's already usable, already finished.
Does it matter if finishing touch is necessary then? If it's necessary, then it's finished, right?
If it's necessary, you're going to have to be more specific, because it's getting into murky waters. Meaning, if you have a kli, and you do something, that could be Makav HaPatish. But if you don't have the kli yet, it's not going to be Makav HaPatish. If you don't have a bowl until you do this, that's not Makav HaPatish. If you already have a bowl, now you're doing something to the bowl, evening out the bowl, but designing the bowl, that will be Makav HaPatish. How did Rashi explain Makav HaPatish in our Mishnah? What was the case in our Mishnah that Rashi described Makav HaPatish?
That there's one thing, and then after that,
what was he talking about?
To beautify
Rashi.
You're talking about Misatet.
It's the last
touch.
The last touch.
Not how does he define it? What's the case? Yeah, Doug. Yeah.
You take the rock, you cause like explosion, it comes off the mountain, you put it
off the mountain. That bang that knocks it off the mountain. I have a question to you. That means when I cut the stone there on top, on the sides, and the bottom, that was all machatech, let's say. Now I'm ready to bang it off. That's going to be makir patish. Before I do makir patish, is it an already finished usable stone?
No.
Do I have my thing here already? I'm just putting on a finishing touch.
Yeah. You could do whatever you want right there, right in the middle. You
don't.
You can't use it like that because it's on the mountain now.
Right.
What was mechatech? Mechatech was that I cut this part, and I cut this part, and I cut this part, and I cut this part. Well, there's another part that has to be cut off, just the same as the sides. Yeah. Meaning, why is my stone finished because I cut four sides? There's a fifth side that has to be cut. So if you would have asked me, I would say that Rashi in our Mishnah, by the fact that he's calling this knocking the stone off the wall, makabe patish, in my mind, that's not finished. It's not a finished product. It's not a usable product. It's not a... It's still a mountain. It's a piece of mountain that has slices in it. But it's not a stone that you quarried from the mountain. It's not like I already have a bowl, it's just a little uneven, I have to smooth it out. It's not like I have a glass bowl that I just want to put that extra puff to make it a little smoother, a little rounder, a little bigger. I don't have a stone to use. I don't have a brick. I just have part of a mountain that has some slices in it. So I would venture to say that Rashi argues on this point. Rashi does not hold like the Urayim. Rashi does not hold like the Ran. Because the Ran and the Urayim say that it's the Malach, whatever you do after something's already ready. And if you look, I think if you read Rashi, Rashi's talking about Makir Patish, where the stone is not ready, the stone is not finished, it's 4/5 finished. And that fifth, that final fifth, is itself Makir Patish. According to the Ran and the Urayim, in order to be Makir Patish, it has to be fully available, fully usable, it has to already be a brick. And now I want to smooth it out or make something nice on it. That would be the Makir Patish. And therefore, it is my assumption, I would suggest, that Rashi does not hold like this. What we just thought the Rad and the Ram are saying general rules. I think Rashi doesn't hold like that. What's bothering you, Jesse?
No, it's kind of a bit hazy. Rashi says, Kol HaGomer B'Shavas Malacha Toladas Makir B'Patishi. So does that mean that Rashi says it's necessary that in order for you to be over in Makir B'Patish, you need to finish a malacha? And Ran says,
Malacha doesn't mean malacha, that's 39 malachas. Malacha means something that you're building, I think, in this context. Whatever you're building, you're making something, that's your malacha, and then you finish it. The Ran says you have to do Makir B'Patish after you finish something. I think Rashi holds the finishing, that last step, meaning in the, to make it a kli, to make it a stone, to make it a, but it's not that I already have a house, I'm just putting something on top. Maybe according to the Ran, you need a house and you put in the buzzer to ring the bell. That would be Makir B'Patish. But if you put on the last part of the roof, would that be Makir B'Patish according to the Ran?
No.
No, for two reasons. A, because we said it can't be any other malacha. And secondly, because Ran needs a house, then you do something on top of the house, like a buzzer, an intercom, closed circuit TV, I don't know what, a painting. But according to Rashi, maybe that last part of the roof would be considered Makir B'Patish. That's yours. Yeah?
So are we trying to say that you have to remove it from the mountain?
I think that a stone is only usable once it's removed from the mountain.
So,
and therefore, removing it from the mountain is part of finishing up getting the stone quarried. And therefore, that won't, according to the Ran, you have to have a finished or quarried stone that, and then do something to it to be Makir B'Patish. According to Rashi, no, that getting off the, get, just like you cut the top, the four sides around it, the fifth side is Makir B'Patish. Rashi would hold that's Makir B'Patish. I think the Ran would say that's not Makir B'Patish. That's my thought. You don't have to agree. We'll see something more. Okay, who saw the Meiri? Jess, did you see the Meiri?
No.
No? Nathan, you saw the Meiri?
We've been over a little bit.
You want to try?
No.
No? Alex, you want to try?
Yeah, David, cool.
David just did the round.
I did it.
What?
Okay.
David did the, yeah, whatever. So Alex, you did the...
Oh, I forgot you say Alex.
Oh, no, Alex, I'm sorry.
Afalbi shebiarnu she'im class of osachas, some of the...
Oh, by the way, before we start, the Meiri. The Meiri has an assumption. He's already, what daf is he on? He says right there, Kufhe. So he's talking three pages from now. So he's talking a little bit further than where we are. He's talking about Kosev. And Kosev, you can look quickly. Look on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, the first of the Mishnah in the middle of the page, 60% down. In order to be chayav on Kosev, how much do you have to write?
Two letters.
HaKosev Shtei Osios. Two letters. Okay? So, in order to be chayav for Kosev, you at least have to write two letters. If you want, just write an A, or a B, or a Gimel, or a Zion, or a Epsilon, or a Pi, that will not constitute Kosev. Only if you write two letters. What? Right, not Alpha Epsilon Pi, but... Okay. With that in mind, says the Meiri...
So he says that even though we explained that if you write one letter next to another letter...
Oh, so I have two letters.
But the other letter was already written.
Right.
Pater. V'chein hadin be'areg hud echad...
Now, when we talk about weaving, there's a minimum shear for weaving. I think it's also you have to weave two strings or something, because... Picture a basket, right? Basket, all the things are, you know, under, over. You can sort of picture, you sort of know what I'm trying to do. If you do just one thing, under, over, that's not weaving. Once you have two, that's already considered weaving. Let's say you have something... Arig means that which was already woven. If I add one string, so then that's already woven. Oh, now I have two strings, even though I only put in one. No, you're still pater.
So if you write one letter or weave one weaving, and if you write one letter and that letter completes a book, or if you weave one string and that string completes the garment, then you're chayev. Shekol shashlim ba chashuva he kishtayim chayev mishum kosev. That any time you complete something substantial, it's considered like two, and you're chayev for kosev.
Right. So, what are you chayev? Which malach are you chayev for?
Kotev.
Which malach are you not chayev for?
Makav.
Not makav patish. Oh, so therefore the question is, wait a second, but if you finished, I understand you're telling me a chiddush in the realm of kosev, that even though you only wrote one letter, since it was the last letter of a book, Sefer Torah, a book, or a chiddush in the realm of the halachas of weaving, that even though you only wove one string, but it was the last string to weave in the garment or the basket, so you're chayev, even though it's only one string, that's a chiddush. But the next question, the next line is going to be, but hey, why shouldn't that last string or that last letter, forget about Kosi, let it be Makav Patish. It's making a non-safer into a safer, right? If I have a safer Torah missing one letter, I don't have a safer Torah. You put that last letter in, poof, and I have a kosher safer Torah. Let it be Makav Patish. That's the next question. Go ahead.
Makav is showing Bob. Kehogan.
What does Kehogan mean?
They asked properly.
Properly, appropriately.
Vizkayev, Mishu Makavatish. Should be high. Why are you high for Makavatish? The Kamosh, Shamaru, Parakol Gadol, Haiman, Shakil, Gomer, with the garment and the pulling out the twigs. Chayev Mishu Makavatish. In that case, you are high for Makavatish.
So that's his question. Now this question we're going to have to address. He's going to have a chiddush. He's going to answer with a chiddush. And that chiddush is going to be significant. And he's going to take a certain position. We're going to have to see how people don't take that position of his answer, how they're going to answer this question. Now so the question is, how come if you finish your sefer or you finish your basket or your shirt, why shouldn't that be makav patish? Tirtzu, what's the answer?
Tirtzu, shalom nemar makar patish, ela, the malacha shin,
Sheni Shloma Kala.
Kula. What does that mean?
That we only say it's not good Patish if there's, if the work has been completed.
Right, not 39 Malachas. The work. The item is already completed, then you did something that's exactly. So it's not a finished book. So that's why it's not going to be Makar Patish. So he's holding like
the Meir, no?
Like the Meir. This Meir is holding like the
Ran
and the Yereim. Not like Rashi. Not like Rashi.
No.
And now he's going to give an example. Now things are going to get complicated. Until now, everything's easy. If we stopped here, life would be easy. Okay. Now he's going to get a little... Josh, you ready? Now, before we go ahead in this Meiri, I want you to think about what I told you 5 minutes ago. I told you that I think Rashi argues on the Ran and the Urayim. Because the Ran and the Urayim said what?
It has to be done already.
It's already done. And then you do something on top of that. And I said Rashi clearly argues on that because Rashi holds that knocking off the rock from the mound, breaking off the fifth side, the back side of the stone, is Makar Patish. And that's not a finished product before you hit it off. It was four-fifths finished. You had to do the fifth side, the fifth wall, the back side. So therefore, clearly Rashi doesn't hold like the Rani and the Urayim and the Meiri. But now we should look at what the Meiri does. Go ahead.
Go.
Now that he remember, what is he trying to do? He now has a goal to explain this new shita of the Ran, the Urayim, and himself, the Meiri, that Makar Patish only applies when something is already completely done, and then you add something on top of it. Kagon, for example, look at the example he gives.
Shabbat of Evan, Behar, Vinis, Perekes, Kula, Nisvivo, Sehar. So, for example, when we separate the stone
from Chatzav is the quarry.
When quarry the stone from the mountain and it crumbles and all the crumbles around the sides, v'nimtza sheni shlemon b'lechas ha'evan. So this is the completion of the work of the stonework.
It has already been completed. The stone, the work of the stone, is already completed, except for
eila shelo nifla v'zeh makar patish umafila.
Read that phrase again. Ella
shelo nifla v'zeh makar patish.
You're not reading the word v'zeh correctly. I think Josh will read the word v'zeh correctly.
I would have said v'zeh. Oh, v'zeh.
What does v'zeh mean?
Nifla v'zeh, it doesn't fall from
this
it.
This what? Jesse?
I don't know.
V'zeh means in this guy. Ella shalonafla, except that the rock hasn't fallen. Vizeh, and this person, makeh v'patish, he hits with his hammer. This is makeh v'patish. And this person hits with a hammer, umapila, and makes it fall. Mapila sa, it makes it fall. So how is he understanding the case of the quarrying?
It really is finished.
It's just lacking
the latch.
Take it out of the mountain.
To detach it.
And he's not... I told you 3 minutes ago that that's the last of the five steps. There are four sides that you took care of and this is the fifth step. He's not understanding like that. He's saying, oh, the stone's already done. It's just lacking the fact that it has to be knocked off.
How could something be done already before it's knocked off? Don't you knock it off first and then finish it up?
Well, he's saying everything's ready except the final thing is just to knock it off. I was saying, what do you mean? That's not a finished thing that just has to be knocked off. That knocking off is one-fifth of the malacha of quarrying a stone, of cutting a stone. Shanimsa, anyway, he'll finish his argument.
Shanimsa, malacha of the goof, osotavar, kvar, nishloma.
Even before you knocked it off, it was already...
It was already completed.
The malacha was already done.
V'chein, mash amu ishakil akufe beglima, share haglima kula asuya. So this is similar to like when with the case of the garment because it's already been made.
Right, you have a full garment, you're just pulling out twigs. That, or needles, or thorns. That I hear.
Aval... Elo no lo nishalim ha-sefer ve-ha-veged adayim.
What's be'elu?
That these.
What's these? What is he referring to?
The examples that he gave, the sefer and the
right, the things that he started with the book that's not finished, or the strip that's almost done. They haven't been finished, and therefore...
The kol shehu osel tzorech ha-shlema eno makavatish.
Not makavatish, when you still
have to complete them.
When you finish the thing off. Finishing something off is not makavatish. It's only makavatish is only when, David?
When it's already finished.
When it's already finished and you're adding something on. Terrific. So that's the opinion of the Ran, Meiri, and Rama. And Yireim, I'm sorry. I showed you that maybe Rashi might perhaps argue. But with his reading of the case of Rashi, he's reading this Meiri's last few lines about how he understands the case of quarrying. That makes Rashi no longer be a contradiction to him. He's understanding that knocking it off the mountain is, and actually, it's so everything's finished. You're just knocking it off, but it's already finished. And therefore, I don't have a proof from Rashi that he disagrees. 10 minutes ago, I said Rashi disagrees with this whole perspective, because Rashi says the last part of the quarrying is called Makom Patish. And here they say that you have to have, after the thing's already finished, then you add something on, and that's Makom Patish. But according to the way the Meiri is understanding, he says, his own opinion, that Makom Patish is after you finish something, and he's including in that knocking the rock off the mountainside. So he knocked away my proof that Rashi argues. So according to the Meiri's explanation, Rashi could be fitting in with him. So right now we haven't seen anybody who definitively argues on this perspective. The Makom Patish comes after you already finish something.
How does he say that Rashi, how would he explain the Meiri's that Rashi doesn't argue with the Ran?
Because I said that Rashi argues, because Rashi's talking about knocking off the fifth wall.
Yeah.
Which is 1/5 of the actual work that has to be done.
Yeah.
It's not after you finish the work.
1/5 of, you're saying, chanav, of doing that.
Chatzav?
Sorry, chatzav, yeah.
Yeah, of quarrying. Uh-huh. What do we mean by 1/5? I mean there's a cut, but there's one more cut, the back wall.
Okay.
So that's 1/5 of the four that were already done. So okay. That last fifth is what I would think is part of the malacha. Here, for some reason, the Meiri understands. No, that's already, everything's already done.
Part of the
malacha
bone?
No, makom patish. Oh, mechatech, I guess. I would assume
so, chatzav is mechatech.
I would assume chatzav is mechatech. Yeah, because I have a certain place where I want to cut precisely over there. I want a certain shape, certain size stone.
And this isn't bone also? Like
weird. What did we see in the Rambam last week? Were you with us when we did the Rambam?
Oh, yeah, bone is putting things together.
Right. Cutting a piece of stone off the mountain is not doing that.
Okay, fine. So chatzav, and then this is the last bit of... It's 1/5 of chatzav.
That's how I read. And therefore, I understood that Rashi would say that even though you're finishing the malacha with this, that could be constituting as makom patish.
Okay.
Meiri, for some reason, he's not like that. Meiri says, when you did the four sides, you did everything. It's just missing the last, a finishing touch. Just, you know, knocking it off the wall.
And that's how does that mean that the Rashi doesn't disagree with
Because
the
he's explaining the case of the Rashi and still saying...
He's disagreeing with how Rashi...
He's learning how the case that Rashi describes exactly, and he's still fitting it into his own Shita. He's still saying that's not called... He's still considering it. The Meiri is bringing the case of quarrying and knocking a piece off the back, and he's still considering it to be a fully finished stone before you start it, and knocking off the back is just doing something extra, something on work that was already finished.
It's not finished though, I want to have something attached.
So you don't understand this Meiri. How can the Meiri say it's already finished? Now, this could be a little bit, you know, I'm not a quarrier, but I wonder, let me ask you the fine question. When you quarry, okay, let's say on the mountain, and this is the stone we're trying to break off, okay? So you cut flat like this, flat like this, flat like this, flat like this, right? There's a full side here that's still attached to the mountain side, right? Maybe that's not really how they did it. Maybe when you have something that's attached to the mountain side, look at my hands, here, Jesse. You don't go straight in like this and straight like that. If you want to disattach it from the mountain side, you go on an incline like this. Shuv. And then when you're doing the bottom slide, you do on a slope upwards to there. So that you have sort of a point in the back. I'm going to do not from the front, I'm going to do from the side. Let's say this is my mountain. Okay? And
breaking on a triangle.
There's this stone that I want to get up. So when I cut, I don't cut like this. If I'm trying to get this stone off, I'm not just going to cut like that and like that, because then I have to get this entire thing disconnected. That's going to be hard. Maybe when I cut stones, when I get a stone like that, I go like this. So I'm going to have a stone like this, and here, after I do this cut, and I do this cut, on all four sides, what's left of the back holding it on?
That's a point.
A tiny little point. So just go, boom, and it falls away. So maybe that's how I should be reading Rashi, Jesse. And therefore, Rashi also could perhaps be read that you're not doing a real, the fifth. It's not like I explained before that there's four walls and there's a fifth wall. No, you cut everything away except for one little that's attached. You know what it's like? Did you ever buy a toy? You buy a toy that has plastic pieces, a game that has plastic pieces, and they're still, you have to like disconnect them. The way they manufacture them, it's cheaper for them to not separate the pieces. They're sort of attached with some, at one point you sort of twist it off and it breaks off, you have the piece, and it attaches to some other pieces or to like a, you know, let's say you're buying a really cheap checkers set. So they give you a piece of plastic like this, and you have to break off the checkers. And they have this for the rest of you, you know what I mean? So that breaking that piece off would be exactly like just... The checkers are already fully made. It just has to be disconnected. That would be makom patir d'oraisa, I would say. And maybe that's exactly what's happening. It's just attached at a point. You just have to disconnect it. It's already fully chiseled, it's already fully cut, it's already, all the mechatech had to happen is finished. Now, Jesse, I might not have originally read Rashi like this, but once the Meiri seems to be learning Rashi like this, learning the case of quarrying like this, so maybe it would fit into Rashi also.
How did the... There are similar statements in the Meiri and Rashi.
They're talking about the Meiri.
And Rashi says that Chol HaGomer B'Shavas Malacha told the Makom Mepatishi.
Right, because the Meiri is making
says,
his
Nishlama,
point.
Rashi says,
already finished.
And the Malacha, were there, everybody's talking about, I think we're talking about the specific Malacha of what, Mechatech?
Let's say.
Yeah?
Let's say.
Okay. But initially you said that the Malacha is just not really referring to anything. It's just referring to...
Sometimes it means a specific Malacha. Mechatech, sometimes it just means the thing that you're working on. But here, I understand. You're saying that
so
the Meiri is saying...
Rashi, not like the Meiri, Malacha has to refer to just whatever you're working on. In order to read the Rashi like the Meiri, the word Malacha has to refer to Mechatech. Has to refer to Chatzah.
Because like you're saying, we're
reading Rashi like the Meiri, well, it has to be talking about Chatzav, and maybe Rashi agrees that all you're doing is taking the hammer and putting it down. So Malacha has to strictly refer to Mechatech. That's what...
No, in Rashi you could be very... In Rashi you could read it however you want.
Okay,
but
you
the
can
Meiri,
still read like the Meiri.
Rashi could go in two ways. The Meiri can only do it in one way, but Rashi itself could be go in two ways.
Okay.
So we have a new opinion of these three Rishonim. Rashi, we don't have a clear picture, which if he agrees or disagrees. Let's look at the last line of this Meiri, please. Doug, you want to read this last line? Did I put it in bold on your
sheets?
I did, okay. Now, this last line is a proof. he set up his suggestion. His suggestion, his thesis that he argued is that Makom B'Patish is only when you already have something and now it's already made. You're just putting a finishing touch on something that is already completely made. Now he has a proof. Let's see his proof. His proof is going to be a logical proof. Go ahead. If you don't say this, if you don't say my thesis that it has to be fully finished, go ahead. Tchilatan.
So like the starting.
That so tchilatan v'sofan, the beginning and their end.
That comes as like one. Kigon, an example. Kitsira v'kiyotza ba haya roi lehitzchayev ba mashum makev
b'patish. What is he saying in this line? He's saying a very powerful story. He's saying, I'll prove to you. You can't even argue on my thesis. I'll prove it to you. Because if it's true, if you think that the final part of a process could be makor pat, I'm arguing, says the Meiri, that it has to be fully done. And you add something on the cherry on the cake. That's makor patish. And if you argue with me and say, no, it could be the final step of a process, then what about those processes that
have a beginning and at the end at the same time?
Right, they're one-step processes. Then every time there's a one-step malacha, it's order, by definition makor patish. For example, what's the example of a one-step malacha? Koter, chuk, harvesting. That one, that's going to, are you going to tell me that's makor patish? No one ever heard of, you know, koter being makor patish. We could probably go through 20 of the malachas. You know, choresh, any time you do any melacha that's not a drawn out process, let's say dyeing, cooking, that's a long, drawn out process. What?
Kibui
beer. I put the finishing touches. I made it. This was the. I made it extinguished. So I extinguished. I did kibui, and I also
put.
You know, did the last. So you can't say, says the Meiri, that makor patish. Is the last part of a bigger malacha, because some malachas don't have a last part. They are just one part, and therefore you're going to say that that one part will be makor patish. This is a svar we're going to have to think about, maybe we'll come back to. But what I want to do in the next 15 minutes.
Sleep.
I do want to sleep. A lot. I do. At 1 o'clock, I was in my office, and my eyes were closed. You're like, I have to be careful, because if I fall asleep, I'm not going to wake up for Shir. So what I want to do is show you Gemara after Gemara after Gemara after Gemara, that if you read Rashi in those Gemaras, you'll see that Rashi, in fact, does not hold like the Meiri and the Rad and the Yireim. And you'll do it with me. You'll see it with me. Let's start with a Gemara that we already looked at and thought about this. Ayin Hey Amud Beis. Let's talk about the glass blowing. We saw the Ran said it has to be the second puff. Why does it have to be the second puff? Because you already have your kli, and now it has to be the extra thing on top. What does Rashi say on blowing the glass? It's smack in the middle of the skinny lines. Rashi minapeach bekli zechuchis. First word on the line is zechuchis. Kishahutach, when it is melted, right? We're talking about molten glass. What does Rashi say?
Naaseh,
it is made al yedei nifuach, through the blowing. Meaning, what blowing is he talking about?
First.
Obviously, the blow that made the kli. Not the second one, like the Ran said. It's explicit in this, you see, I mean, it's sort of funny, you know why? Because when you read this Gemara, if you didn't know anything else, you say, Rashi, why are you wasting these words? I know what glass blowing is. What are you adding to me? Mm-hmm. Once I know the Ran, that he understands Nefuach, the blowing of the glass blow is the second one, I realize what Rashi is going out of his way to tell me. That you're chayef for making the kli. Not because the kli was already made, you're doing something extra. No, making the kli itself is a malacha. The Ran would never say these words. Making a kli is a makor patish. He would say, when you have a kli made, and you do something on top, that would be makor patish. So you see, that's one Rashi. We'll count. I'm going to have probably five, maybe six. Let's turn to Mem Zayin Amud Aleph.
Rashi.
Actually, I want to do Mem Zayin Amud Aleph afterwards. Let's go.
The round before Rashi.
Kaga.
Let's see something that we're also familiar with. Mem Ches Amud Aleph. We've seen this before. We saw in the Ramakam. Sheath, bottom two lines, Mem Ches Amud Aleph. There's a case you're all familiar with already. Mem Ches Amud Aleph. 48a, bottom two lines. Who wants to read? David? Memchet Amud Aleph.
Where?
Bottom two lines. Amar Yehuda Merav.
Who?
The bottom two lines on 48 on page 95. You have Memchet Amud Aleph, or you have Memchet
Amud
Aleph?
Yeah, I have
it. It's bottom two. Three lines.
Amar Rabbi Yehuda.
Yeah, Amar Rabbi Yehuda
Merav. What? Atzaveh.
Good, Hatzavar. Hatzavar.
Really?
Is it Tzavar? Yes, he did.
The neck of a t-shirt.
Exactly. One who opens up the neck, meaning the collar.
Chayav Chatat.
Okay, what is the, which melacha did you violate according to the Gemara?
No.
The Gemara does not say. Let's look at Rashi.
No, but it can't be Magdabatish. It can't be.
What's the Rashi?
Shed.
Hapateach bit at last two Rashi's.
Shalom lechafila.
Okay, this is a green light Rashi. Try again.
Hapateach be atover
tzavar
atzavar shel halom lechafila.
Chalok is a shirt or a robe.
What
does lechafila mean?
Really about a shirt.
What?
We're talking about a shirt, a t-shirt. We knew that. I'm like,
okay, fine.
We wonder that. We're
Chachila meaning from the first time to open up the neck.
Yes.
The first time. Go ahead. Chayav Chatat. What does Rashi say? Say it again.
Chayav Chatat de Ashta.
What is a mana? Anyone know the word mana means
a kli?
Yes, an Aramaic mana is a kli. So you can read it as a red light, Rashi, like you did the first time, but try looking with your mind that mana means a kli. Okay, I'll tell you what I did. I'm sorry, David. Chayav Chatat. Why? Dehashta kamashvi le mana. Because now, you are making, what's mashve? Mashve, shave. Equal. You're making it equal to, meaning you make it into a kli. Ka is just like kuf aleph. It's like one of these helping words in Aramaic that don't mean anything. Mashve, you're equating it, meaning you're making it into a mana, a kli. What is he saying to hashta? You're making it into a kli? What's that word? Yeah. Oh, thank you. Beautiful.
You're finishing.
One extra word in Rashi gives me a whole sheet of what he holds. That now you're making it into a kli, meaning until now it was not a kli. And now you're making it into a kli.
So
look at the Sefer Yerayim. Look at the Sefer Yerayim.
It has to be a
kli. Was it the Yerayim?
Yeah, so I'm
yeah, look at the Sefer Yerayim.
So Rashi's arguing on the rod.
Exactly. He's arguing on the rod. He's arguing, and look at the Urayim brings this very Gemara to prove his point. The third line of the Urayim. David, read the third line of the Urayim. The first of the three Rishonim that we brought.
What's the
Hilka, go ahead, David. Hasarat, the removal.
Hatichat beged, tichat be
atzavar.
Atzavar, inikra melacha.
It's already made, and now you're just putting the finishing touch to make it wearable. But it's already made. Rashi doesn't explain like that. Rashi's saying that very same Gemara, and he explains the Gemara by saying that right now you're making it into a kli. a t-shirt. It wasn't a t-shirt. The Meiriam, this is somewhat of a semantical discussion. The Meiriam sees it as a t-shirt that's not usable that you have to break open. And Rashi says, this is not a t-shirt. Now you're making it into a t-shirt. Until now it was a piece of fabric in a funny shape. Now you're making it into a t-shirt. Rashi is very significant. If it's just as Rashi, we could say maybe he meant it's already from before and you're just making it usable. I'm going to show you six Rashis that are going to show you this point. The hashta, right now, Kamash Le'mana V'chaya, Mishum Maka V'patish, Rashi says. V'chaya Mishum Maka V'patish, because right now you're making it into a kli. Could the Ram say that? Could the Meiri say that? Could the Ram say that?
No.
They have to say that it's already a kli, you're just doing something additional on top. Fine, we have time for one more proof. Okay, we'll do this one proof, and then tomorrow we're going to do a really cool proof and do something very cool with this. We'll start tomorrow. Let's turn to Kuf Kaf Beis Amud Beis. It might be on your Masor sheet, but I'd rather see it on your Gemara because it's more real than it's on Gemara. It might be on your Masor sheets towards the end. Kuf Kaf Beis Amud Beis. Kuf Chaf Bet Amud Bet. Yeah, in the middle of the page by a star, Tan Rabbanan.
Where is it?
Kuf Chaf Bet Amud Bet.
The lid?
Delet. What's a delet?
A door.
A door. I'll read the next three words. Shal Shida Vishal Teva. A Shida is like that thing.
Nothing?
That thing over there.
That thing, a closet.
A chest, like a chest, a cabinet, an armoire, if you speak French. A del at the door, v'shida, v'shal te, v'shal migdal. Let's say it's not attached, right? Let's say there would be no hinges. You sort of slip it in, take it out. Okay. So is that building on Shabbos?
Let's see.
What? Do you understand the
illustration? Just door's not attached.
Right, it's not attached door. You sort of, it has handles, you pull it off and you have an open cabinet, you
take the door back,
put it on and you put it in place and now you have it covered over cabinet.
Be detached from that?
Yeah. Let's assume.
I don't think it's
good. That's a regular what?
Way to use it.
I like what you're saying. You're saying something very intelligent, but we'll see how, let's see this and then we'll... So Del Shal Shida, Vishal Teva, Vishal Migdal. Migdal is a tower, but like a tower that you store things in, like a small, some kind of closet maybe. Notlin, you could remove the door, Avalomach Zirin, but you can't return the door. Let's skip down. Fine. Skip down two lines. Ella, the Gemara is now going to ask the question on that. Two lines down. First one line is Bekarka. Ella asks the Gemara, Shal Shida, Vishal Teva, Vishal Migdal, Maika Savar. What are you thinking? When can you ever have a difference between removing something or putting it back? Let's think for a second. Bona and Soter are antonyms, right? Whenever something is bona, you can't build it, so obviously you can't remove it. Whenever something is what to remove, then you could build it, because you didn't build anything. If you weren't removing anything, it wasn't breaking anything, so you're not building it by putting it together. Right. So, I don't understand. How could you tell me, halacha, you can...
Do soter, but you can't do binyan.
Remove it, but you can't put it on. I mean, if it's bona, then it's soser, and both should be aser. If it's not bona, it's not soser, and both should be mutter. That's the Gemara I was going to ask right now. Ella, shal shida, shal teva, shal migdal, my kasavar, what are you thinking? Ikasafer, if you think Yesh Pinyan Bekalim, then what should come out? Yesh Stira Bekalim. This should also be Yesh Stira Bekalim. It should be also to do Stira. And you shouldn't be able to take it off. If you can't put it on, you can't take it off. V'i Ein Stira Bekalim. If you can't take it off, well, also Ein Binyan Bekalim. You can't put it on. So it says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, you know why we have a double standard? Why you're allowed to... Amar Abaye, you know why we have a double standard that you're allowed to take it off, but you're not allowed to put it on, why we're worried about stira, but we're not worried about binyan? La'olam kasavar yesh binyan bekelim v'yesh stira bekelim. I'm sorry, go down three lines to the conclusion of the Gemara right before the two dots. Amar Rava. Ella Amar Rava, line and a half before the two dots. I'm sorry, I'm jumping around. I'm just taking the main points. Ella Amar Rava. Kasavra ein binyan bekelim ein stira bekelim. There's no halacha of bona when it comes to furniture. There's no halacha of stira when it comes to furniture, to kelim. Therefore, you should be able to do both. So why does it say that you're not allowed to put it on? Why does it say you're not allowed to put the door on? Gzera shema itaka. It's a gzera. Maybe you might... Itaka is to attach, like by interconnecting something. Like stick it in a way that will like
and that
attach.
Would be, it's a
and that would be bona. Oh. So here we're worried. We don't want you to put, you know, to put the wall, the door back on because... It would, that would be like bona, because it's attached. Oh, let's see. Rashi there says, Gzer Hashem Yitaka.
Or?
Gzer Hashem Yitaka.
Chayav.
In the third medium line. Or let's start on the third. Lo'olam kasavra ein stira ve'ein binyan. Hilkach, therefore, notan, you let it pull this door off. Umihu, but... Ain machzir, and you can't put the door on. That's only the rabbana. Why? Gzer shem yitaka b'chazaka, with strength. You might put it in, attach it strongly b'sakin, with a knife, yitedot, and with pins. V'havalei, and it will be kumar melacha. Now remember, we're holding right now. Could it be bona or not?
No.
We just said ain bona b'kelim. Therefore, there's no binyan and there's no stira. So what could be the problem? A gzera that you'll do what? That you'll build? No. There's no binyan. It's a piece of furniture. It's not a house. So what could it be? A gzera that you'll do what? A gzera that you'll attach it strongly, which would be what? Which would be the Gemara Malacha B'chayim Yishumaka B'patish. What do I see from this Rashi? If I did finish it with pins and knives and I finished it strongly, it would be? No, ain't bona b'kelim. It would be makah b'patish. What part of the makah, what part of the building of this chest would it be?
The last
part of building the chest. Do I already have a fully made chest and I'm just adding something on? I'm adding a cherry on? I'm putting the front wall on. Yeah. So you see again, Rashi holds that makah b'patish is even when you don't have a fully made thing. You're doing the last step in making the item.
But the Meiri would say if it already is a finished cleat.
Perhaps. We have to look up from the hearing and see what he would say. Tomorrow we're going to see the best case where this comes out clear. And we're also going to see what Tosis holds about this whole situation.
So cool. So I'm going to ask you a brief question about the Rambam.
Are you going to go to Memphis?
Yeah.
If you can ask me after Memphis, that would make my life a little bit easier.
Well, it's not like a
crazy
question. It's just like...
Josh, you have to organize the shoe lunch. Oh, yeah, good call.
Alex, 5 o'clock in there?
We had like two shoe lunches, and last year I did like
what? 4:50?
Yeah,
it's at 4:50, so like I'll be in that room. So.
Oh, okay.
Remind me next, you know.
Okay.
Same thing that last time. Sandwiches.
So could you call me after Lucha?
Yeah. I have class.
Oh, so call me tonight. It's not
what time is it? It's 3:30.
Call me after 3:30.
3:30?
10, yeah. Because it's
a
bed around
there.
Thank you. If it's online, it's in a precise way. Yes, it's not, then no.
So then,
that's why I said it. What? So if you don't do it on the preparation, that will not be us for that. Maybe us for that. But, if there's no other toilet paper there, and you're going to be walking around in a very inappropriate way, 30s, no, whatever, it's never that. But instead, we put the cover in Rio. Honor to little man, we permit you to hire an individual. If you can cut it down on the preparation.
Does the business have to be for the, like, for actual research? If you can, with this, just for help.
I think that the thing for just for no purpose would probably be, might be up for a month. I think.
Thank you. And also, you can that you can go to, you know, make that work.
Right.
So, and I think they're not ever taking it, they're never breaking the same piece off. So
right, they're taking off what they don't want.
Yeah.
And you know what you do want.
How would that work for sure? Like, what would you be talking about?
That rocket package. I have to think about it. I might get into another complicated malacca issue that you're doing the malacca not for the purpose, for some other purpose. You're not doing it because I want this chip. I want to get this chip away because I want something else. This is also another. It's a good question. I don't even know the answer to that.